1, verses 1 through 16. In the ESV versions of the Bible that are in the pews, it's entitled The Lord's Comfort for Zion. And we're taking a look this morning at our thanks to the Lord for His transforming, life-changing, difference-making comfort that He brings into our lives, what He's already accomplished, and what He promises to accomplish. So we look at Isaiah 51, verses 1 through 16 this morning. Here's what God's Word says to us there. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear not the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revelings. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation to all generations. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake, as in days of old, the generations of long ago. Was it not you who cut Rahab in pieces, who pierced the dragon? Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a way for the redeemed to pass over? And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man who dies? Of the Son of Man who is made like grass, and have forgotten the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth. And you fear continually all the day because of the wrath of the oppressor when he sets himself to destroy. And where is the wrath of the oppressor? He who is bowed down shall speedily be released. He shall not die and go down to the pit. Neither shall his bread be lacking. I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in your mouth and covered you in the shadow of my hand, establishing the heavens and laying the foundations of the earth, and saying to Zion, you are my people. We're thankful to God for his comforting gospel. We pray that it may be that for us this day. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I suppose that if we were to go and ask people who work why they do that and why they stay busy that way, I would imagine, and I imagine you'd think the same, that many would tell us that they need to make a living because they got to pay their bills. They got to support their lives and their families. And if we heard that from people, that would be commendable. It's not always something that people even today, unfortunately, even want to do. But when we hear that people do it, they want to make a living. They want to be able to support themselves. That's a commendable thing. However, if we think about the difference that God makes and has made in our lives, and we want to be known as reflections of Him, it would also be good to be able to say that when I'm busy in the world, I don't just want to make a living, but I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference with my life in service to the Lord. And the reason that I want to make a difference is because I remember, as passages like this one remind me, of what a difference that God has made in my life. When God has made a difference in our lives, in Jesus Christ, we want to make a difference with our lives. We then do not just want to be part of the world. We want to be lights to it. And we don't just want to be busy till the day we die. And we don't just want to make a living. We want to make a difference. We want to make a difference in people's lives and in the world in which we live and for the glory of God, because we've been called by God's mercy in Jesus Christ to do so as those who believe that He's made a saving difference in our own lives. You know, over the last number of years, I've heard people talk about game-changing events. Maybe you've heard that too at times. People will talk about some good news that's made a difference in a project they're working on or a direction that they've taken in life, and they report about how that difference has been a game changer for them, or it's been a game changer to some project that they're working on. Now, what's this game changing and this difference making have to do with Thanksgiving? Well, when we open up the Bible, particularly like passages like the one we just read, we are taught, we are reminded that there is no one who is a game changer and who makes a difference for us like the God of the Scriptures, like the covenant God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of creation, the God who recreates, the God who redeems in Jesus Christ. And when people come to see, and as our passage tells us, remember God as the difference maker in their lives, the game changer in their lives, and the one who will change their lives even more in the future, those are the truly thankful people of the world. And such are the ones who can truly live life to the full, and such are the ones whose lives will make a difference. Once upon a time, someone might have done something remarkable for us. But in self-centeredness and in a what we call a myopic or a very closed-minded sense, we might ask, but what has that person done for us lately? It's not as if nothing's ever been done, but that span of time since that moment tends to spark discontent more than it sparks gratitude. And sadly, in our sin, when we enjoy substituting a grateful heart for a grumpy, grumbling, and bitter one, We can find ourselves looking at God that way and life that way, as if we would like to say to Him and to the world, "What have you done for me lately?" That's the spirit of the age in which we live. It is a spirit of the world that seeks to creep into our own hearts. And it's not hard to imagine coming to that kind of a conclusion, not just when the going is rough, but even when short memories fail to count blessings. Passages like this one at a Thanksgiving celebration are good ones on which to reflect, however. Because what they do is that they remind us that not only does God make a difference in this world and in those whose faith rests on Him in Jesus Christ, but the difference that He makes in a person's life is meant to leave a lasting, indeed an eternal impression. And if we fail to sense that lasting impression, that fault does not lie on God, it lies on us. The differences that God makes in transforming our lives and in promoting and promising to continue to do so, those things are basic to a thankful life and not just a thankful day. Thanksgiving arises out of a heart that by grace is able to see that God has truly done game-changing, transforming things for our comfort, for us, and He's going to continue to do them. And such thanksgiving for such a difference-making God will lead to a life that will make a difference for God's praise as well. We focus on this passage on Thanksgiving Day. We do so in order to heed the call to be thankful for God's transforming work in our lives, in the past, for the future, for our comfort. First, be thankful and remember what God has done for us in the past, both creationally and redemptively. There's a sense of Psalm 100 coming out of this Isaiah portion as it speaks to us and recalls not only God's redemptive work, not only His covenantal work, but also His creational work. That's what Psalm 100 does too, as it reminds us that He made us and that we are His and that we are the flock under His care. Throughout this passage, if we had the time to look at them all in minute detail, we would, but throughout this passage, just giving it a purview, Isaiah is writing to a people who must be wondering what God has done for them lately. And how it was that they could carry on in their bleak, exilic moments, their times in exile. And so what God does is He draws up a history lesson for them, in fact, a host of them. And He calls them to see how He has made the difference in the past so that they could be comforted to know that what God has done in the past, He could and would do again. Because He's the covenant God who is faithful to His promises to accomplish everything that He sets out to do. God reminds. God reminds of His creative power, where He's able to stretch out the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth. And He reminds them of that because He wants them to remember nobody else can do that. It's irrational to believe that any mere thing could bring about what only God could bring about. Such is your help, the one who made the heavens and the earth. What greater ally would you have but that? If such is my power, says God, then don't fear that I can't save you from your Exodus-like bondage and deliver you from that oppression. And besides, was it not I, he says, who defeated Egypt, divided the sea, defeated the ancient serpent, allowed you to overcome the waters of death? As I split the sea, I was able to transform the waters so you could cross on dry feet. I'm the great transformer, remember? You're looking for righteousness. You're looking for deliverance. You're looking for my salvation. Look back at the rock from which you were hewn, remember? You came forth from Abraham and Sarah and Abraham was just one. But you came forth from there so that you could be many and increase. And how did that happen? It didn't happen by the strength of Abraham and Sarah. It happened by the strength and promises of God, who brings life from death. You wouldn't be existing as part of my covenant people right now if it wasn't for me back then. Remember? Remember that that rock from which you were hewn was a rock of covenant, a promise that I made to Abraham, that through his seed, all the nations now under curse would be blessed. A covenant where I vowed that I'd be faithful even to the point of taking the curse upon myself, to see to it that this covenant would be carried out. Remember. See, Thanksgiving, as you hear that calling in Isaiah 51 here, Isaiah 51 says to us very soon, joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving in the voice of song as the Lord comforts Zion. Thanksgiving is so much about remembering and not forgetting. As the passage speaks to us, it presumes what has already been done and provided. We're called to be thankful as we remember. And we're not to be praying for what we may need without being thankful for what we already have. We can never be truly thankful unless we remember. And we know that God has done game-changing things in our lives, taking to heart God's word as he points out the past, so we'd be thankful today for what a difference God has already made in our lives. Now, of course, we can't make that comforting review unless we first can say that God has already made that kind of transformational difference in our lives by saving us from our sins and making us new in Jesus Christ. Now, there may be people here today who aren't thankful people because they can't look back in their lives and say that God has made that kind of difference for them. I'm not saying that it isn't a day of tears and it isn't a day of pain. But there could be people here who aren't thankful because they can't look back in their lives and say that God has made that kind of transformational difference for them. Confessing God as that kind of Savior in Christ not only saves us, but makes us and keeps us thankful, especially as we remember what he's done. Those people 2,600 years ago had a great history on which to draw that would lead them to be thankful to God. 2,600 years later gives God's people even more history on which to draw, as God has added transformational work to that history in Christ, and therefore added further foundation to the spirit of thanksgiving, not less. And since that time, Christ has come so that we might not perish but have everlasting life. That's transformational. The bestowal of the Spirit of Christ upon the nations has arisen so that those who walked in darkness across the globe could now walk in the light of Christ. That's transformational. And we can lift this passage and place it 2,600 years later into our experience and say, some of those very things which would be reason for thanks have already occurred, so that we could give thanks, rejoice and give praise, not necessarily in Jerusalem, but wherever we might find ourselves gathered with God's people in worship, worshiping with thanks. Because God has been at greater and more work of making a difference for the world and for us as products of grace, so that in turn, you and I can live lives that truly do make a difference. which in itself is a reason for thanks. That you and I in Jesus Christ can live lives that make a difference. That matter. See, thanks builds on thanks that way. When we think about how God has made us His at the cross, how He's applied that in our lives so we can live lives that matter and make a difference. Those people could look back and they could look ahead. And they could do it with thanks. And so can we. Our passage says that remarkable change was going to come. Paradise would be regained. The desert would be like the Garden of Eden. Blessing would take the place of curse. Liberty would take the place of bondage. Peace would take the place of fear. And many of these things have occurred already. Not just in Israel being returned from exile, but the transformation that Jesus Christ in His coming was able to accomplish. And we start to celebrate that again, don't we, in some special ways as the season draws near. The celebration of Jesus and His coming so that there would be true reason for rejoicing. Verse 11 in our passage from Isaiah 51 is very similar to what we hear in Isaiah 35:10. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be on their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That's transformational. Why was that going to happen? Because a time was coming, as Isaiah 35 would tell us, when eyes and ears and lame and dumb would be transformed. And when Jesus came, He ushered in that transforming age, that future. His transforming ability to heal physically would speak to the spiritual transformation that He would win for His people on the cross. Obliterating the curse that would otherwise hang on us. Guaranteeing that the promise that God made to Abraham would occur, would be realized, that all the nations of the earth would be blessed and not cursed. And that would be reason for thanksgiving and praise. And while the earth will grow old like a garment, and the oppressors of God's people fade like the grass, God's salvation and those who seek after it will never pass away, says our passage. And when you and I, my friends, are God's people that way in Christ, though we die, yet shall we live, and those who live and believe in Christ will never die. Because God establishes a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness and salvation dwell forever. You see, just like those people had reason for thanks in the past for what God did, and for what He would do, we're no different when we're Christians. We're no different. We're thankful then as God's people in Christ for what He's done. And we're called to be thankful in hope, anticipating with thankful and comforted hearts for what God still has in store for us. There's much reason to look forward and to do so with a grateful heart. There's no doubt that our times are challenging, painful, trying, and we may find in our own particular lives the intensity of that. And if that wasn't so, then we wouldn't need passages like Isaiah 51 to comfort us. There's no doubt that we live in a world and we encounter a world where the idea of thanksgiving can be such an elusive pursuit. And yet, while our times can be trying, they can also be thankfully comforting. They can be comforting. They can be comforting when we remember what God has done for us in Christ and also what He's going to do for us in Christ. And we need to make that kind of confession, and we need to keep it. We need to make a confession and keep a confession where we believe that God has and will make a difference in our lives, both in time and for eternity. Because only then can we live with the privilege of a thankful spirit, even in troubling days. And when you and I can live with that kind of a grateful spirit, your life and my life can make a difference in praise to God and in service to other people. And we'll see just how much our lives matter then. They'll make a difference when we remember with a thankful heart the difference that God has and will make in our lives through Jesus Christ. And we won't then just be making a living. We'll be making a difference with a thankful life to God in Jesus Christ, who makes all the difference. Amen. Let's respond, shall we, in a moment of prayer. Father, we come grateful for what a difference that you make for us, a transforming difference in Jesus Christ. Death to life, freedom from bondage, darkness to light. From condemnation to justification. From enmity to our bonds with you through Jesus. What a difference you make in the lives of those you call to yourself in Christ. May we find ourselves grateful for that difference, so much so, Father, as we anticipate the ways in which you'll continue to make that difference, that you will use us to make a difference in the lives you've called us to live and every facet to which you've called us in word and deed, that we would do all in gratitude to God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who makes all the difference in our lives. We pray that you'd hear us in Christ's name. Amen.